probably.
Oh.
Oh?
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 Oh.
I didn't even see you hit start on that thing.
I gotcha, bitch.
Wait, where's my thing?
This?
Like, okay, yes, there I am.
Oh my
there
God.
I am. There
Welcome
I am.
Welcome to Confidently Insecure, the podcast where we're absolutely sure we don't know everything. I'm your host, Zach. Never is prepared for a hurricane. There's a flood coming and he doesn't care. No, he towers.
And I'm Kelsey, definitely not going to drown Dara.
Because she is always prepped. There's a flood coming to Los Angeles, y'all. And
it
Zachary,
should be here right now. If you are listening to this as the podcast
yes.
comes out, we should be tits cold. Up in a river.
Yes. And Zach was like, what are you doing for the rest of the day? I'm like, preparing. I'm building Noah's Ark. And
unreal.
What are you doing? And he was like,
unreal.
Ah, I think I'm gonna go see a movie. Let me plan some more dates.
I did actually. I told you I accidentally had two dates on Valentine's Day.
Bitch, tell me.
Two dates. One was a coffee date that we both acknowledge we didn't realize was Valentine's when we booked it.
Okay.
Because it was like, how about next Wednesday?
Uh-huh.
And I just looked at Wednesday. It was open. I was like, yeah, sure.
Uh-huh.
It was great. Had coffee, made out at his car, which is very cute. 6'3".
He is 6'3".
Yes.
Do you ever wonder, what's he doing with a shrimp like me?
I do.
You don't think other tallies are like trying to fuck other tallies? Because in gay world, there's no rules.
Yeah, fuck other tallies. When I see two tall guys together, I'm like, boring.
Yeah,
cliche,
predictable. Yeah,
I love a big and a little. I love a big and a little.
For those who went to sororities, this is very different from what Zach's talking about.
No, were you like, fuck the smaller one? Yeah, no, he's like tall and he had to like lean down a little bit to kiss me. But he was also like, he's like, can I kiss you? And I'm like,
dog,
yes.
It works every time.
Yeah.
So I don't know who said they don't like it when someone asks to kiss them. They're like, I just want you to do it. No, I want you to fucking make a meal out of it.
I agree.
Okay.
And I want the question to happen like as they're like,
yeah,
you know, like you're
yeah,
gonna kiss. And then
yeah,
it's just like a formality. Like,
yeah,
yes, I filled out the paperwork. Let's go.
Stamp my passport, baby. You're in. Welcome to Mexico. Okay. So you went on a date on Valentine's Day.
That was the midday. And
accidentally.
Then I had a show at night
okay.
and I was like waiting to go up. And this guy I met on the gay cruise was in my DMs on Instagram. And he was like, any chance you want to go get Salt and Straw?
Which is a very
cute,
bougie
ice cream place.
But they have the most wackadoodle flavors.
Yeah, it's like strawberry
and blood
basil.
Sausage.
Yeah, yeah. I wish you were kidding, but she's absolutely telling
they
the truth.
They literally did
it's
a
like
blood
avocado
pudding.
And fennel. And
yeah.
You're like, I didn't know what fennel was before. I don't know what it is after.
It belongs on a pizza, not
thank
my
you.
Ice cream, but somehow it does.
It works.
They make it work.
I never get that flavor. I'm like a ooey gooey brownie like mix. Or
I thought
like,
you just said two tall people together were boring.
Yeah, well, when it's in my mouth, it's a different story. When it's a tasty treat in my mouth, cookie dough will do just
applies
fine.
To men as well.
I love cookie dough ice cream. Anyway, so I was like, yeah, I'm actually about to, I'm about to do this set.
Go
and then
crush
I can
some fucking laughs.
And I met him and we got our ice cream to go and we sat in the park by the dog park in West Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of cold. So we sat next to each other, kind of like shoulder to shoulder. And I could tell his love language was physical touch.
Yeah.
Cause he like kept putting his hand on my,
What about the bigs of your back? What if you got a big rump-de-doo like
nope.
some people?
Fuck the hump. Sorry, Quasimodo, but you're not getting touched up there. Save it all for my lower back.
Okay. For the small of your back.
Oh my God. It's like my on switch.
Okay.
There's like something about
it's so like protective.
It is, and it's like, let me guide you.
Like a seeing eye
right
dog.
Right here. Yes.
Yeah.
Or it's like if you're filming something and you need to walk backwards.
Yeah. That is a very niche.
I know that's a niche thing, but it's how I felt. But so we were sitting really close, and then like between eating our ice cream, we made out.
You little slut
I
making
know.
Out with two people on Valentine's Day?
I literally had no
okay, wait,
intention.
Did this guy, did the second one know it was Valentine's Day?
You know?
You didn't ask?
I don't know if he did because at the end when we were parting ways, I was like, happy Valentine's Day. And he was like, oh my God, you're like my Valentine. And I was like, and that one actually, okay, was like 1 inch taller than me, but we're not going to fault him for that. Okay. He might grow still.
Sure.
He owns 2 little planes. We talked about this. You didn't believe me.
Okay. I didn't know that was this person. You're telling me this man for a living does travel nurse.
He was a travel nurse. Now he works full time in LA and he's getting his commercial pilot's license, but he told me he has 2 planes.
But he's a nurse still?
Yeah.
He doesn't have 2 planes.
You know, travel nurses make a fuck ton of money.
Yes, but
they make a fuck ton of money.
Yeah.
And when you're in like a place that doesn't cost as much as LA, I think you're really banking it.
I just got to know where he afforded 2 planes and where he keeps them.
I'll ask.
Okay, please report back next week.
I see him.
So you went on 2 dates. Both of them didn't know it was Valentine's Day.
Makes three.
Yeah, that's very straight behavior of you three.
It kind of is.
Yeah.
Although I just talked to a girlfriend today whose boyfriend loves Valentine's Day.
Why?
I don't know. Huh. He likes to dress up. And he likes to go out to like a nice dinner.
Aww.
And so she leans in.
That's cute.
She like gets him flowers and Aww. Stuff. It's cute. Yeah.
Wait, I love that. I love the idea of a straight guy loving Valentine's Day.
Totally. It just because it doesn't compute.
Yeah.
It feels like a day that they begrudgingly get through.
Yeah. That they're like, fuck, did you remember this bitch needs candy?
It's fucking tomorrow, man.
Maybe I'll get a blowjob out of it.
Wait, isn't the next day steak and a blowjob day?
What?
Yeah, the patriarchy.
What are you fucking talking about?
The day after Valentine's Day is steak and a blowjob day.
Don't.
Where guys are repaid for their due diligence.
No.
With steak and a blowjob. Maybe this is a Missouri thing.
First of all, the idea of that it's just a Missouri thing is hilarious. But I'm fucking pissed if that's the truth.
I think it's true.
Ew.
Don't Google it.
Where's that button? I'm gonna guess.
Don't.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I was like, you're not going to guess though, because some part of you must know where that button is.
I don't still. I was skiing for Valentine's Day with my family.
Hot.
So the athlete and I decided to celebrate Valentine's Day early before I left.
Okay.
And we went to a fancy / like well-known restaurant down the street from my place that I've been to a million times, but he had never been. And while we were there, we walked.
Malta?
Well, now everyone's going to know where I live.
Oh, no, I mean,
Zag.
Have we never given a context clue?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes. I'm very protective after being robbed.
Wait, do you think your robber listens to the pod?
Yeah, he does.
Shout out, girl.
Stay out of here. When we walked in, it was like a comedian. I don't know what. They weren't there together, but there were so many comedians there that night. It was Eliza Schlesinger.
Yep, you got it.
And her
right.
husband. And I was like, oh, I know her from her little cute doggies. Then it was Billy Eichner.
Billy Eichner.
And then this might be hot tea because these two looked like they were
on a date.
Maybe was Ayo.
Okay.
Abadiria and Bo Burnham. That was the sound of a jaw dropping.
That would be
hot.
Wild.
Hot, right?
That would be a very
fun.
I mean, prolifically funny.
Like changing the world with their comedy
Damn.
Already. So now together, that could be wild.
And they could have one depressed baby.
One
who like hates comedy.
Hates comedy. Becomes like a fucking politician, yeah. honestly.
Or maybe they'd be like the next big thing.
Ooh.
They'd be set up for success. Wow. Ayo and Bo. Bo and Io. I mean,
I love that.
That's
I also
a
thought
show.
Her name was Ayo. It's Io.
Io.
I've been calling her Ayo for Yayo.
I mean, she'll probably respond to it.
Yeah. Well,
Wait,
that's
so you had. But how was dinner?
Delicious.
Yeah.
Great. No notes.
And
Melissa knows what they're doing.
Did you guys express yourself physically?
So, funnily enough, you guys, this has been the longest I've ever gone without penetration in a very long time because I had to do my eggs.
Oh.
Then I was out of town
yes.
with my family. we were on tour working.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like there was no time and for fooling around.
And I wasn't going to penetrate
her. He wouldn't. I asked and he said no. Very politely though. I wasn't expecting a gentle rejection. No, it's, and then the athlete has been recovering from a procedure. So like we have not been, and I'm just all sorts of tossed around, confused. And this is, I'm also acting like I'm monogamous. Like I've just been hunkering down for the cold month.
Well, you haven't had time or bandwidth to give to a rando.
No, it's been like, I've been not interested. I've been interested in myself and my work.
That's incredible.
I'm fine with it.
Let your work penetrate you.
Honestly, but I am about to go on a bachelorette party next weekend in Mexico. And then I'm going on a all girls trip where two of them just discovered they were bisexual.
Oh, so this is like a might hook up with a girl thing.
Yeah, either that or we'll be wing womaning the shit out of each other on a girls trip.
Okay, what's the vibe with... Okay, girls trip, I guess, versus bachelorette party. Mm-hmm. I would think that the bachelorette party, you'd be like, no guys. Like, this is just about us girls and our...
Yeah. And I think it's also the crowd is like, obviously, one's getting married. Another one's engaged. Another one, I don't know her situation. One of them's married. Another one's married. Like, it's not like a slutty group. Love them. Not slutty.
Sure.
So we'll see
sometimes
how that goes.
Those are the ones you have to watch out for, though, because they're like secretly maybe a little like
itching.
Yes.
None of them are. Really? I can guarantee not a single one of them needs an itch scratch.
Not even to get like a little crazy.
No. I think like their idea of getting crazy is like, I don't know, shots.
Okay.
You know?
Getting shot.
Yeah. We have a special dating no filter question this week.
Oh my God, I didn't even know.
Yeah.
Our producer didn't tell me that there was a dating no filter.
I'm the producer. I don't know why she asked me to keep it. She asked not to play the audio voice note she sent me, but it's from my sister.
What? Okay.
I don't know if she told me, if she meant like, don't say this out loud and
no
say
matter
it's me.
What, you betrayed all possible.
Sorry. Okay, so she said, I have a dating no filter request. How would you and Zachary suggest you approach somebody at the gym? Because that's people's safe space, but you're not going to see this person anywhere else. And how can you slither close enough to see if they have a ring or not? Please don't play this on your podcast, but I think you should just read what I said because it sounded like a robot. I think it's a good one to do it, do it, do it, do it, do it.
Okay. First of all,
shout out to my sister.
If she's talking about approaching a man,
yeah,
men don't get safe spaces. You can approach a man and do whatever you want at any. I'm giving you as a man, technically on a technicality. You don't have to worry about that, girl. You can do whatever.
Sorry, I didn't.
Oh, is that what it's like living in your head, huh?
Yeah. Oh.
Do whatever. Throw a dumbbell at his head.
The idea that men don't get safe space is because the world is just his safe space. You blew my mind because anytime I see those comments that are like, please don't approach women in the gym. Like, they're there to work out. They're putting their headphones on. Like, don't annoy them. I'm like, yeah, that's all the advice for women.
That's for women.
That's for women.
And if any heterosexual men are listening right now, fucking leave women alone forever. Just wait for one of them to approach you.
I love the idea, though, that there are men in the gym being like, God, I hope that bitch doesn't come talk to me.
Yeah, maybe a gay guy.
Maybe a gay guy. But I don't think a guy, A, ever suspects being approached. Number one, because I hear complaints about that from straight guys all the fucking time. Oh, girls never approach. They never approach me. And
maybe us gay guys need to step up and start hitting on them.
I'd be down. I'd love to see a guy squirm. I'd love to see a straight guy squirm in the gym about like a hot gay guy approaching him. A straight guy's going to go, oh, thanks, brother. That's so cool of you. I'm straight, though. But thanks.
I'd be like, okay, show me your dick. Like a straight guy would.
Prove it. Yeah.
I would say for some real advice here, if he has anything with him, like an energy drink, fucking ask a question about the energy drink.
She does.
Let him mansplain something to you.
Oh, like, how do I pick this up?
Yeah. Be like, can you watch my form for this? And then just fucking squat over his face.
Oh, my God. Yes to that. Yeah. I love the idea of watching an exercise he does. And then you go do it and be like, hey, I feel so silly asking this, but I saw you just doing this and I wanted to try it, but I feel like I'm fucking it up.
Yep.
Like,
that's the way you have to go, though. Don't go up and be like, I noticed you were incorrect in your form. Don't do that.
Because a guy's just going to punch you in the face.
Play that fucking girl.
Feminine, yeah. Dumb. I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah. Especially because...
Is the 10 pound heavier than the 5 pound?
I don't know. If I hold 2 5s...
Is that one?
My sister also is so bad at approaching men. Like, she just won't do it ever. Like, anytime I'm with her, I'm like, come on, let's go talk to some guys. And she's like, oh, God, fuck. Like, why? It's just so anxiety provoking for some people. Whereas me, I just don't care.
Yeah, okay.
And I think it's just because of my personality and also the nature of my job. I just don't give a shit.
Sure.
But I could see this for so many people being such a struggle bus thing. And I like that she also was like, how do you slither in to see if he's wearing a wedding ring? Like, I would just... go walk up to him.
Yeah, and fucking look at his... And if he catches you, be like, I was looking to see if you were married.
Yeah, literally. I would use that as the reason. Be like, excuse me, are you wearing a wedding ring? And then if like, oh, no. Be like, okay, I just wanted to check if you... Make sure you were... Are you single? That's in.
Honestly.
We just gave you the best fucking advice.
It's such a light lift when it comes to, I think, heterosexual men.
Truly. That's what you have to remember is like, even if they are married or they're not into you, they're going to be fucking so jazzed that they're going to go home and tell their wife, like, you won't believe I got hit on at the gym.
This hot girl, this hot slut came up to me.
Yeah, honestly, and my sister, she'd be fucking going in at the gym too. Like, she's hot.
I know. She knows what she's doing. Little
CrossFit
gladiator.
Crazy bitch. So I think you just go for it.
But also, isn't that okay? So if you're like in a CrossFit situation, I feel like that's a breeding ground for like talking to people. We're like, wasn't that tire crazy today? I don't know if they
that tire
fully.
Was so rubbery.
So fucking tiring.
She goes to multiple gyms. So I know. So I know that she's talking about the other gym that she's probably going to. Yeah.
She's horny at all of them.
Yeah. And good for her. I hope she... It's so crazy because my sister is so hot, so successful. She's shy in a way that like she doesn't need attention, but she has always had men like want her.
Mm.
And so the idea to me that she just like doesn't go approach guys because of like nerves or whatever is so funny to me because she just has every reason not to be nervous about approaching men.
That is interesting because she is super confident.
Yeah, but she's still like shy.
Maybe it's because she like deep down does not feel compelled to be in a relationship.
That too, I bet.
So she's like, I don't want to force something that I'm not even like
that
gung-ho
desperate
about.
For. Yeah. Yeah, but I know she's a little slut too, so I know she's trying to fuck.
Oh, she's just trying to get that
She's dick. Trying to get that dick, but she doesn't want to like just fuck some rando. And she also doesn't want them to be uggo. Like she's got high
can't relate standards. I wish we could do a body swap just for one day. Because I feel like if I were in your sister's body, I would take that body count up.
Ooh!
I mean.
Left and right.
Yeah, because I just go up and be like, hey.
You want to
fuck? Do you see my boobs?
Yeah.
And guys would be like, yeah.
Fuck yeah. Or like, even if they're married, they'd be like, I mean.
I can look.
Yeah, as long as I don't touch, it's not cheating.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Okay.
That was a good one.
That was a good one.
Gym is also such a sexy place. I love the gym. Not only are people in like guys are in like drapey clothing or you can like see their arms or their back or like if they have cut off sleeves, you can like see like in and then like also drapey bulge butt you can see. And then they're sweaty. So it's like in theory, they're only going to look better.
From there. Yeah. Like, you never seen some guy clean up from the gym and been like, ugh, I'm a fucking loser.
That's what you look like, dry?
Yeah. Unless they have poor taste in clothes.
Exactly.
Unless they're just, like, blind and have no idea how to dress.
But there's just something also was like, yeah, we're all, like, doing this.
Yeah, we're all here to better ourselves.
Yes, exactly.
Can I tell you a very funny thing that happened this week that I don't know if you caught it on my Insta, but I, on Valentine's Day, completely fucking outed myself. On Instagram.
In what way have you not already outed yourself?
This is how embarrassing it was, is that I literally went like, oh fuck, no, oh whoops. So I follow a bunch of like kinky accounts, like kink accounts. And you know how brands or like companies or whatever will make funny, like multiple images of slides of things that's like, you know, I don't know what's stupid, like Geminis when they respond back to a text, and then the next slide is like Virgos when they respond back to a text, and it's like
there's
a slide for everybody kind of thing. And so a kinky account that I makes these like cartoon, they're like vintage retro cartoons, and then they say they were like saying really slutty things. And you're, I imagine, like sending them to people, right? It's like, send this to your crush or whatever, and you like send it into your DMs. So I was, I meant to send the athlete something, but I posted it to my fucking story.
Did you add stuff to it, or do you just?
I posted it. It was a little sexy squirrel holding an acorn, and it said, "I want you to nut in me."
Okay, but that's still very funny. That's still very funny.
I posted it to my story, and I left it up for many, many hours, and then came back to my inbox, and my friends were like, Kelsey.
Jesus Christ.
And then I was like, what? And then I was like, and I took it down, and then I texted the athlete. I was like, I'm screaming, I accidentally posted them to my story. So then I was like, it's already been up. And so I screenshotted my text thread with him and posted that to my story to be like, this was a mistake, like hee hee ha ha. And the amount of fucking messages I got from people being like, we just thought it was you feeling Kelsey. Yeah. like, oh my God, like I have this too. Like I immediately am sending this to my partner or whatever. Like it's kind of a saucy thing.
That's great to know though, that like a lot of people did not flinch.
Nobody fucking flinched. But
I wouldn't have either. I need to start watching stories.
I feel like I'm missing out. Saucy to be like, I want someone to nut in me. That's not just like, you don't just say that to anybody. You can't when you're a lady.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for qualifying. I was like, gay guys really toss nut around.
No, you can't just say you want someone to nut.
We're like, nut.
No.
Nut crazy.
No.
Nutrageous.
Okay. Well, when we come back,
wait. Don't ever cut me off like that again.
Especially when you're talking about nutting.
Okay. Does Instagram, this was a fatal flaw, and I don't know if it still happens on Instagram. But if you like send someone's story and you respond, it like goes to that person's story. It must have been a glitch that happened. Like, because so many times my friends would be like, they'd send like a hot guy's thing and like, oh my God, hottest dude. Like I'm creaming right now. And it would go to that guy.
What?
Yeah. Cause it was like,
That's the most embarrassing thing that could ever happen.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was me not knowing how to use Instagram.
Maybe you were reply. Maybe you would like click on it to look at it, and you'd reply, you're a ding dong.
I think that's what I did.
That's 100% what it is.
But like that should not be allowed. If Instagram sees that someone has sent me someone's story,
you should be blocked.
I should be in a different space.
That sounds like user error, and you should just get better at technology. When we come back, we're going to talk about talking emotions and conflict and getting better at conflict.
Can't wait.
Fear me.
The weather is getting warmer, so it is time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now that I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from 30 doll hairs, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
I can confirm this. I'm actually wearing Quince pants right now.
You are.
They are they're loose, they're breezy. These babies have a button, a fly,
drawstring and elastic in the band. So I can, like, I can dress them up. I can dress them down.
Yes.
They're the perfect pant for summer, and I'm really comfortable as hell in them.
Honestly, I am wearing the Quince 14 karat gold earring loop right now.
Oh, my God.
I know. I think it's so cute. It does not tarnish. It is so comfy, and I have sensitive ears, so I'm really loving this for my body. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Kelsey for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Kelsey to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Kelsey.
Zach, how are you with conflict?
Okay, so I used to, obviously, like most people, not like it. Okay. And I wouldn't, while I won't say I like it, thank you, Leo. While I won't say I like it, I embrace it.
Uh-huh.
And I think because I make all correct decisions that I'm always like
right
justified. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So like conflict for me is just explaining why someone's wrong.
Got it. So you're only going into conflict if you know you're absolutely right. So it's not scary to you anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause if I do, and I obviously my part of this is like how to remedy the
yeah
thing, but if I do all the things to prevent escalation,
uh-huh,
I will always be right.
If you do all the things to prevent escalation. Okay.
Because I think I get tripped up if I act too fast or if I, if I let the thing take over, if I let yeah the emotion take over.
That's yeah.
So conflict to me is not scary because
wow
I'm doing all the proper things to avoid it being my problem.
I wanted to do this episode. It's so funny, Zach. You were so right. Like that one time when you were like, anytime we have an episode idea or theme, it's because like Kelsey's going through it personally. And I've always wanted to do an episode on emotions in conflict, which is different than like how to fight with your partner, which we have done before, because I am so bad at certain types of conflict involving emotions. And I couldn't figure out, like, I didn't know why. And I'm so glad we did this because I think I figured it out.
Really?
Like I got an answer and I was like, oh my God. So like a little history with my relationship to conflict. I am very good at personal, close relationship conflict. Like if me and my partner are having a tiff, I am great at like the idea of confronting them gives me no qualms. The idea of needing to confront my parents about something, nothing.
Deal.
Like it doesn't shake me, blah, 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 blah. Professional conflict, hiring or firing someone, approaching, having a hard conversation at work about something, getting in trouble, like not perform, like anything. Like if I had to approach you about a professional conflict, I'd probably be like right down the middle because I know you well enough to be like, this is a safe space. But yeah, I also know like the bag is like, we don't want to fumble our bag. So how do we like fix this personal relationship or how do we fix this professional relationship-y thing? But there's something to like, if it's just a personal relationship, if it's just me and you having a friend
you're
fight,
good
no problem. But if it's professional, no bueno.
Okay.
So I really wanted to figure out why and get down to the bottom of it. So I have always been bad at conflict with authority figures. And the way that I know this is because I'm someone who cries when they're mad. So if I start getting into a heated debate with like a police officer or like a coach or a teacher or a boss, I start crying and it pisses me the fuck off. It's something I have hated about myself for all of time that I could never figure out. Why do I'm mad. So why am I crying? And if
are
it's
you mad, or are you upset?
Mad.
Okay.
I'm angered. And then the other thing was that whenever I'm the one that needs to initiate the professional conflict or whatever, I will paralyze myself with playing what I think is going to happen in my mind
God
over and over. what are all the different ways this can go terribly wrong? What are all the things that they could say back to me that's going to make this terrible?
Which some of that is good.
Which is some of it is protection and safety and preparation.
But then you paralyze. But then
it
good.
Paralyzes me to the point where like I can't do it. I almost won't even approach. I'll just be like, I'll deal with it. I'll another way. I'll figure it out. I just don't even want to approach.
I'll start a new life.
Yeah. I'll throw everything away. So I really wanted to get to the bottom of this episode because I've never been good at professional conflict, but I've been really good at relational conflict. So when researching, the first thing I did was like, why do we cry when we're mad?
Uh-huh.
And I found that for some, the internet says, crying is easier to access than anger, which is going to tie in later for me. Like, the permission to cry has always been given, but I've never been able to get mad. So that was like mind-blowing moment number one, where I was like, oh my God, I've always hated this thing about me. This explains totally why. And anger is considered a secondary emotion.
Mm-hmm.
So the primary emotion often behind anger is sadness.
Okay.
So like, it's almost like I'm bypassing anger and also just getting straight to sadness.
Sure.
And it's easier to access for my brain. My brain's like, go to cry. Don't go to yell.
Anger is sadness with one of those like disguise glasses on and with a big nose.
The big nose and the mustache.
Yeah.
So basically when we cry, we experience a loss of control or under heavy stress, and like tears are a way of emotionally regulating too. So when I start to feel anger, it comes out as like, the way I regulate anger is with releasing tears, which I was like, wow, that is fascinating.
Let the rain come down.
Let the rain fall down. So how do we get this way, Zach? Why does one become bad at conflict?
I'm going to blame your parents.
Always. Early life experiences play a crucial role in shaping one's approach to conflict. If you're raised in environments where professional authority figures such as teachers or leadership roles are discouraging open dialogue or punish dissent, you may grow to associate conflict in professional settings with negative consequences. So that can go both ways. Like if you have a hard time dealing with relational conflict, it's probably because your parents didn't allow that kind of conflict to arise safely. But if it's with professionals like me, it's probably because I had teachers and authority figures or coaches around me as a child that were like, no arguing, no crying. We don't yell here. Like, I was never allowed to fucking yell. And I remember one time when I yelled at my friend's house, this is just coming to me right now.
I was just triggered.
I was at my friend's house and I was a little kid and she lived in the cul-de-sac, and I went to her house and we were in a fight about something that she was wrong about doing.
Okay.
And I like yelled at the top of my lungs at her, and her mom was like, you will not yell in my house. And it like freaked me out so bad, I like ran home down the street and like never went over to her house again. And now
really?
I'm just realizing it was because she was like, you're not allowed to be angry. Even though I had every right to be angry.
That is, that's sad.
That is sad.
Do you think that's like a woman thing though?
Probably
like, girls aren't allowed to be angry.
Yeah.
But it makes sense that they're sad.
But you also think of some women as flying off the handle. Like yes. I had ex-men.
Starting all of our
men,
wars.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah. That have been like.
X-Men.
Superhero power Wolverine bitches. I have always like, I think I told you this one time. Do you remember when you took me to, don't say the people's names, don't say the partner it was at the time, but do you remember when you took me to a wedding in Palm Springs after something very bad had happened at home?
Mm-hmm.
And I came home like, and I needed, or no, before you picked me up, I was like, I've been up since 6 a.m. like arguing with this person about this thing. I did something in that argument that I so specifically remember that I was supposed to be very angry.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we were starting to raise our voices at each other on the staircase. And in my mind, I went like, God, Kelsey, be angry. Like, you're supposed to be angry, not sad. Like, yeah. Be mad. And I went, I'm going to hit this picture frame off the wall.
You have a warning?
I waited for the right moment to strike, and then I very gently tapped the picture frame off the wall and it like fell and kind of shattered. And
oh
I was
my
like,
God,
that didn't feel right. That didn't feel authentic.
Yeah, you're supposed to just do it.
That felt very forced. Yeah, it didn't come fucking naturally to me. And guess what? It's because I don't feel comfortable with anger.
Wow.
I've never been allowed to be angry.
Huh.
And so this one I literally wrote in all caps. This blew my mind with like an exclamation point and an underline. The reason why I'm so bad at professional conflict and not bad with relational conflict is because I feel, and this is going to sound so obvious when I say it, but it blew my mind.
Sometimes that's what you need to hear.
I feel less secure with the environment of work and ruining work relationships or getting a reputation at an office. Whereas when I'm home, I have the safety and familiarity and comfort, and I have that safe space to open myself up to conflict and arguing that I don't feel in a workplace. Like people with high levels of agreeableness or whatever in the workplace will just be like, yeah, that's fine. It's because like, this isn't our safe space to argue. This isn't like our comfort zone. I don't know you the way that I know my partner inside and out. I don't know my boss. Like, I don't know how my boss responds to like the request of nonviolent communication. And
sure.
Like, I'm a visual person. Can you draw this for me? Like, I don't
or like,
know.
Are you replaceable?
Yes.
I think about this a lot too with like interpersonal relationships. And it's so hard with Hollywood stuff because your friends are also creatives, mm-hmm. and you're trying to support them. And then you're like, wait, am I just supporting them because they might be
your boss one
yes.
day?
And yeah. like, I should stay on their good side. Yep. Like, it's like a mind fuck.
It really is. And yeah, it's like, I don't want a reputation where it's like, I don't give a shit what my partner thinks about yeah. me. They're already with me. They've already totally. Seen my deepest flaws. And so that fucking blew my mind, knowing professional environments often also emphasize rationality, objectivity, like logic, detachment, like don't bring emotions into the office. And I know that if I were to bring conflict, I would get emotional, and it's supposed to be professional. And so I've just been like, I'd rather not.
I mean, we need the severance technology.
Yeah. Ooh.
We need it.
I'll take it.
Need it.
Can't wait for that show to come back on. It's been too long.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Other reasons that we become this way is fear of rejection or abandonment. Obviously.
So you play it safe by
play
not.
Play it safe. Like, I don't want to be a problem. Low self-esteem. And I was like, what do you mean? But it's like, you don't
even stand up for yourself.
You don't believe your side of the argument. Like, you almost don't believe your own opinions.
Or you're like, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
I'm not worth it.
Yeah. Poor emotional regulation. I said, this is me big time. It's like you're afraid of kind of flying off the handle emotionally once a conflict starts. Like, you don't have that in the moment regulatory system.
It's the only way you're poor.
Fuck you. That was a very nice compliment. That's how I know it was an authentic and a joke. Mm-hmm. So like, it's the same thing as when you're fighting in a relationship or a friendship. Is like, if you can't in the moment say pause, take the breath, you're going to be bad at conflict. And I also thought this was interesting too. I'd never heard of this. Learned helplessness, which is a...
Oh my God. I know exactly what it is.
Yeah. Psychological disorder or a psychological condition that an individual believes they have no control over the outcome of any situation, often due to repeated exposure of uncontrollable events as a child.
It is like the parody definition to the, I'm just a little baby.
I'm just a baby.
I'm just a baby.
I'm just a baby.
I'm just a baby.
But it's unattractive when you're an adult.
Oh my, it's horrifying.
But then when you think about the root cause, you're like, aw.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's very sad. But it's like people being like, well, I can play kind of the victim card. Like, mm-hmm. or I can play like the weaker link card. Mm-hmm. And like, you have to take pity on me.
Yeah, because I've been traumatized.
Yeah.
Rather
this is
than
what
like,
we've decided. Yeah, like, yeah. If you're stronger, you have to kind of look out for me.
It's the same thing with like this TikTok that went viral the other day about a guy being like, so many men are like, this is just the way I am. Or like, I was raised in trauma. I was raised in trauma. Like, I had a bad upbringing. Da-da-da. It was like, at some point,
you have to just
it becomes your responsibility yeah. to change that about yourself. Like, there's, you can't change what happened to you, but you can change about how you respond to it.
I feel like I've said this phrase before, but if you're 5 years old and your parents left you standing in the rain, shame on them. If you're 30 and still standing in the rain, shame on you.
I've never heard you say that.
Really? I think about it a lot.
A fucking poet, bitch.
I mean, I didn't come up with it, but
oh.
I think it's beautiful in that it's like, yeah, you can't just know the issue and then just repeat the problem
over and over again.
Like, you gotta start taking responsibility.
Yeah.
Just like how your triggers are no one's business, one's responsibility but you. Own. So you can't be like, you can't say that because I blank, blank, blank. And it's like, no, I can. You have to be ready to hear it.
Ooh, dog. That's the number one thing that I want to reply back in the comments sometimes where people are like, trigger warning.
Yeah, it's like,
and I'm like, your triggers aren't my responsibility. No, I'm going to talk about the certain content that I have.
You also just need to know, moving about the world, that there's no
bumpers.
Filter. Yeah, there's no sensor. Yeah. There's no one guarding, no lifeguard on duty.
Swim no lifeguard on risk. Duty. Go to your community pool.
No diarrhea either.
No swimming 30 minutes after eating. Okay, so you now are going to tell us how do we fix it.
Yeah, it's strategies to help like take emotion out of work.
I love this.
So the first one, and it's so funny because
you're talking directly to me at this point. I'm like, tell me.
Well, and you mentioned some of these, like compartmentalization.
Mm.
Leave it at home, whatever it is. They even said like, this even says like, if you're on a bus to work or whatever, at each stop, let something
go.
Yeah.
Unpack it.
Yeah.
You do that driving home, but at stoplights.
Yeah, exactly. Be like, and
being a cunt at the water fountain. Not my problem.
Or
anymore.
Vice versa. Little Billy chewing my shoes or whatever kids do. Let it go.
What is going on?
I'm just saying.
Babysitting gig.
Leo, my cat, shat in my nice
He
clogs.
Shat on my floor today.
Yeah, exactly.
He made the most wild sound when he did it.
Like, look at me.
I was still sleeping and I heard all of a sudden just, and I went, what the fuck was that? And I looked outside my door. He had shit on the floor.
Was it a dry poop?
It was a big one.
Okay.
So I think it was large. He was unexpected.
Yeah. His poor little feline butthole. Okay.
I'm sorry. I can't get over little Billy chewing on my shoelaces, but go on.
Just deep breathing and relaxation techniques. Mm. It sounds so, again, common sense.
But in the moment.
Three deep breaths could really help.
Especially
situation.
In the moment. We can talk night and day, make ourselves sick talking about it when we're not triggered or activated. But that is what we say when we say the work is in the middle, in the midst of that shit.
Yeah.
Is the work is
doing,
pausing there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pausing is one of these kind of coming up. Mm. 10-second rule, count to 10 when you feel yourself losing composure.
Ooh. I like that.
Very simple. I like this one a lot. Clarification.
Ooh.
When you find yourself getting upset, seek clarity because it could be a misunderstanding.
I love that. And isn't it Brene Brown that says something like clarity is kind?
Oh, I like that.
Like being unclear is unkind.
Oh, I love that.
Like be direct with people.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like because that. You might be, just misinterpreting an email.
And then tone is so hard to figure
it's
out.
It's such a good lesson in general when, for me, it's like with fear, when I find myself afraid of something, I force myself to walk towards the thing.
Yeah.
Because I'm often making it something different in my head.
Mm.
And it's not something I need to be as afraid of as I think I am.
Sometimes I'm like, say that again, because I just want to make sure I hurt you. And then when they say it, I'm like, yeah, that hurt. That hurt as much as I thought it was going to. All right. Just checking. I walk towards fear and then I often touch the flame, you know?
There you go. Exercise. It's one of the only things that gets like negative emotions out of your body.
Checks out. Got to do something with the energy.
Never, and this is the pause, and it's so funny because the pause is in sober journeys too. Life, yeah. Never reply or make a decision when angry.
Yeah, you're really good at that.
Really?
You're really good at being like, I'm going to deal with this in an hour.
Yeah, you just got to like, you have to just pause.
Yeah.
Just do not send the first thing that comes to mind.
First thought, worst thought.
Oftentimes too with emails, and I learned this through my sponsor, like if I had to like, I don't know, quit a job or call someone out for something, he would want to see the email first and he'd be like, he'd strip it down.
Wow.
And you just take out all the emotion.
Yeah.
You go, I felt really, no.
Nope. Yeah.
Take it out.
Yeah. Stripping things, the story, the narrative we tell ourselves.
Uh-huh.
About a situation
yeah
that clouds or clears the entire thing.
It also just like clutters your argument in mm-hmm. the situation where mm-hmm. you're like, well, unfortunately, I'm not paying you mm-hmm. to get offended. Mm. I'm paying you to do this job and you didn't do it. Mm. You know, like, let's mm-hmm. just talk about the facts. Mm.
Yeah. Facts versus opinions and that feelings. Stuff. Yeah.
Know your triggers.
Yeah.
So, and this is to me, like in AA again, like recovery, you're constantly taking personal inventory.
Right.
Where you're like, usually at the end of the day, or you do it throughout the day, you're like, oh, I notice I'm getting upset.
Yeah.
Let's trace it back.
Yeah.
Like, why am I getting upset? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because this coworker always bumps my chair mm-hmm. when they go to get, obviously, this is my space. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they always manage to bump my chair.
Yeah.
And you just have to know, oh, okay.
Here it is. Here
I'm
comes the
fine.
Bump.
I'm alive.
Yeah.
Everything's dandy.
Context of like the small stuff, not sweating the small stuff. I think as I've gotten older, I don't. Sweat the small stuff.
It's huge.
I'm not like, what did that blink mean when they blinked that way? Oh my God.
And then it's like you hear about it, like a shooting that happened like down the street, yeah. and you're like, oh my God, I could have been in a shooting.
Yeah,
like that, you're all like, of a sudden the blink fuck. Does not register.
Yeah. And like it's a new day tomorrow.
Apologize anytime you have an emotional outburst.
I won't.
a quick, succinct apology, just acknowledging the situation and that like you made a boo-boo.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Be like, sorry for that sorry for getting emotional.
Yeah, I'm good at that. I'm good at saying like, I didn't like how I just reacted. Let me like try that again. Let me like redo that moment for us.
Take from the top.
Yeah.
And then the last one is just never bring your negative emotions home. Because it's a two-way street.
Yeah.
And we mentioned that already, but it's so funny too, because I think I grew up with parents who did bring things home and yeah, it's not fair to anyone
else.
It's also like when you're giving, you have to be mindful of who you're even venting to about work stuff.
Yeah,
because like they're not guaranteed to be in the right headspace to receive the fucking condensed negativity you have to say about something.
Yeah, that's what me and my best friend always check in before we call each other. We're like, are you in a place to hear?
Oh,
can I rant? Do you want feedback or do you want me to just listen? Like,
run
we're good.
A murder plan by you?
Yes. And 9 times out of 10, the answer is fuck yeah, man. Where are we hiding the body?
Fuck yeah.
I'm so fucking in. That was really good.
Not bad.
I feel like I learned a lot today, and I know you hate that about this podcast.
It's my least favorite part of the podcast.
You would literally rather die than be educational, yeah. but I'm not going to lie. It helped me.
Good.
Yeah.
That's what me and the rest of the listeners are here for, to help you.
Honestly, I think we'll never have a conflict after this episode. We've never had one.
We haven't.
I'm knocking on wood for this, baby. Do you have anything to promote?
Come to my live show of After Hours. There's one March 5th at the Hollywood Improv and May 2nd at Dynasty Typewriter.
Ooh, great venues.
I would love to see you there. It's going to be a sexy good time.
Chaos and Kisses. Oh, wait, we already did that tour. We still have spots left for the Don't Panic Retreat in March 22nd through 25th. We're doing it in a castle. Day passes and I think like a king bed or suite is still available. You don't have to live in Los Angeles, by the way, to get a day pass. So if you have somewhere to stay in LA, just come for the weekend.
Don't Panic Retreat.com.
Yeah. And until next week, bitches. Bye.